Welcome back, everybody. We are back in Zach's room.
Yeah.
And Zach is back again. You're on a streak.
Shababity. Magooty.
Yeah.
Magooty?
See. See.
Oh, senor. Okay.
Wait till we... What do you... Let me talk again. Hold on. What do you say we talk some sports?
Yeah, okay.
Spurts. I do spurts ball.
Shohei Ohtani? You heard what's going on with him?
Well, with his
translator?
Translator, yeah.
Yeah. Stealing a bunch of money from him.
Yeah, didn't he fire him? And
oh, there's been a lot more than that.
Yeah.
Oh, they've
he's a big
fill him in, Schmev. Fill him in.
He stole millions of dollars from Shohei, and I mean from the betting, right?
Yeah.
And so how exactly did he steal the money? Did he just take it out of his
account?
From
what I understand,
Shohei Ohtani's who we're talking about, MLB player. If you're not.
Yes, he is. Yeah, if you don't follow baseball, you're confused. But if you know baseball or sports at all, Shohei Ohtani is really the best ball player in the world. People don't really have a doubt, at least when he's fully healthy. People don't really have any doubts about that. But what it is that his interpreter, because as you can guess by the name, Shohei Ohtani comes from Japan. And he doesn't speak English very well, so he needs an interpreter. He's had one for the past 2 years. And his interpreter ended up stealing money from him to fuel his gambling debts. But how he was able to get the money from Shohei Ohtani, from my understanding, is that people were confused, like, oh, how was he able to get the money out of that bank account? Because it shows that Shohei Ohtani paid the gambling debts. Well, what it was is that his interpreter... Mizuhara, or whatever his name is, he ended up actually, like, he started the bank account for Shohei Ohtani. Like, he's the one that actually made it. And then whenever, like, the bank would call and be like, hey, we just wanted to ask about this transaction or whatever, he would pretend to be Shohei Ohtani.
Wow.
From my understanding of it. But yeah, there's been a lot more evidence now, to where at first it was almost like, well, is Shohei the guilty one? Is it the interpreter? What's going on? But now that more evidence has come out, it's pretty clear that Shohei is the victim here and that his interpreter was 100% in the wrong.
Yeah.
That would suck.
But there's a lot of people saying that Shohei was betting on games and he was just, the money was just going to his translator.
Oh, yeah, and that the MLB...
strike me as that kind of guy.
Me neither.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I was watching a podcast the other day that had a former MLB player on it whose name is Trevor Plouffe. Fantastic name.
Plouffe. Wow.
Trevor Plouffe is his name.
How whimsical. I love that.
I know. He was the third baseman for the Minnesota Twins not too long ago, like the mid-2010s. Okay. But anyway... And because he's an actual MLB player, or he was, it was kind of interesting to get his perspective to where he talked about. And he's like, you know, guys in the clubhouse, like, it's pretty clear and super difficult to hide which guys are gamblers and which guys aren't gamblers. So he's like, if all of Shohei Ohtani's teammates are backing him and they would be like very surprised by this, he's like, then I trust that, because he's like, you know the guys in the clubhouse who like to gamble and the ones who don't. He's like, that's something that over time is very, very difficult to hide. Mm-hmm. So to me, that was like another proof of it, to where like this former MLB player, and he gave more points than just that one. Just that's the one that I remember. But no, yeah, it's kind of a crazy thing how it was like, what, $20 million or whatever that he was estimated to steal from Shohei Ohtani for gambling debts.
The other day they released like... It was like some text messages or something that he sent to someone, and it's like him saying, I'm really good at this, or like, if I ever get caught, I'm done, stuff like that. So they're coming out with texts from like a couple years ago of him saying, you know, stuff that is related to the
situation. Why do people put that in texts?
I don't
know. Why?
Yeah.
Like, I'm for it in the sense that, okay, we're able to catch him and he's doing awful things, so I'm happy that he's caught. But it's like, if you're the criminal, why are you leaving a trail for yourself?
It's a great question.
Like, be a better criminal. Like, what are you doing?
One of the best skills I've learned, and this is me not as a criminal, at least not yet, former podcast, go watch it. I have learned that one of the best skills to have is to treat everything you do, everything you say, send, text, or email, as if someone from HR is reading it.
Oh, yeah. That is very true.
That has saved me what I feel like it's probably a world of hurt. Because I have friends that are coworkers, you know, like a lot of people I went to school with, like, that are at the same job I'm at. Hmm. And so, like, of course, we cut up a lot and we'll make jokes, and every now and then, on a whim, we may mention a certain coworker that may or may not have screwed us over. And I still won't say stuff, like, over text or email or anything that could be incriminating, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, I feel like it's basic logic.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, plus, you never know who you're going to find in the future, who you're going to work with or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you never know who could... Like, even if that person, like, even if all that's true, if they end up, like, meeting someone else and then they have the right connections, then all of a sudden they're in a place of power, or you, like, cross paths with them in the future. Exactly. Like, you never know. It's just not a good idea. But, no, you're very smart to do that. Just whether it's something big or small, just, yeah, like, be smart before you send out a text or something like that, or an email. Like, yeah. Don't make it that easy to put yourself at fault.
Here's a question I have for you guys. What do you think about, just in general, athletes betting on sports games?
I don't like it. I think they're too involved for it to make sense. It'd be the same thing as if someone with a hedge fund were to, you know, be in the stock market gambling on their own stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's that? It's called insider trading, right?
Like,
when you know the outcome of a certain...
Kind of, yeah. I think insider trading... I know that insider trading... Yeah, no, that's definitely a big thing. I should know more about it, if only we had your brother on. We should know more about it, but... yeah, I know that's been a big thing with, like, politicians, to where, like, they've been... Like, people in the Senate, how they've been... Sorry, I'm blanking on all my words. How they know that, like, a piece of legislation is about to get passed, and then based off of that, they'll, like, change their portfolio to, like, better match or emulate based on what law's about to pass, so that way they can better themselves. It's like, yeah, that's not okay. But it's sort of the same thing.
Yeah.
But
I saw something interesting. It was this guy that was asked a question online, like... what would you do if you could pass one law right now in the U.S.? And he had said, and he said it like in the most HR wordy bill passing type of way, but I'm going to simplify it for myself and us. He basically said, whatever the average median household income is for a given person in the state that a politician is working in is their income. Like, you can't make above average median household income, nor can you be involved in the stock market when you're a politician. Whatever the average in the state is what you make. So it weeds out a lot of people that are just money politicians, which I thought was an interesting concept. I don't know how well that would apply or actually work in the system because, you know me, big politician guy, but I don't know.
That's what I have you saved in my phone as.
Right, big politician guy.
Yeah. Yep. No, that's actually very interesting. I don't know if you... Could that might be something to where it sounds better on paper than if you were to actually try to implement it, but that would be worth looking at. But going to what you were saying with the sports betting, I mean, and I know this isn't allowed, at least for most all sports, I would assume. If you're betting on your own sport, that's not okay, that's not good, for a number of reasons, whether that comes with like throwing the game or trying to like do dirty plays or whatever else, depending on the sport. Like, you shouldn't be betting on your own sports. If it comes to betting on other sports leagues, I mean, I don't love it, but I mean, I don't think you should get like punished for it if you bet on other sports that isn't the league of your own. Like, if Shohei Ohtani was betting on, like, say, basketball, like, you know, I don't really see a problem with that. So, I mean, it's like, you know, he's free to do that. You know, he can do it. Just if it comes to, like, if he was betting on MLB games, that would be a really big issue.
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought that was what we were referring to earlier.
Or just sports in general. But, yeah, that's my thing. I don't give a crap if they bet on, you know, Shohei were to bet on an NBA game. Like, that's not... Yeah.
It's a completely different administration, completely different league.
Which sport. It depends. I'm pretty sure in the NFL you cannot bet on sports, period. I'm pretty positive, which is funny because DraftKings is a sponsor of the NFL.
Yeah, no, it's funny how DraftKings, and what's the other really big one? There's one other big one.
BetMGM.
BetMGM,
that's big, yeah.
Yeah, that's not the one I was thinking of. But there are all these different betting websites that... It's just funny to me how they're all like the official betting thing of like the NFL, MLB, NBA. But it's extra funny because one thing that kind of went into the thing that got Shohei Ohtani's interpreter in extra hot trouble is that he wasn't even placing the bets legally. There's such a thing, as you guys know, as legal sports betting or legal gambling. And for example, DraftKings, that is something that you can do. But I guess in the state of California, or with whatever was going on with him being in L.A., there is no sports betting, or that's not allowed. So he was doing the bet through an illegal bookie.
Wow.
So that also made it to where Shohei Ohtani would have been in that much more hot water. I mean, he didn't. We don't need to have a conspiracy theory about that because he's clean. Yeah. But that just added a whole nother layer to it, especially at the beginning. Like, and if Shohei Ohtani is betting, like, why is he not betting, like, legally? Why is he betting through this illegal bookie?
Yeah.
Dude, what an onion. You know, just
peel.
Dude, onion. What a bloomin' onion from Outback Steakhouse.
Those
not sponsored.
Are so good.
They are good. They probably are like 12,000 calories.
Yeah,
gotta be.
But they are very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Pete Rose. Let's talk about this.
Okay.
You know what happened to Pete Rose? You know who Pete Rose is?
Yeah, of course.
Hall of Famer. Should be Hall of Famer for the Cincinnati Reds. He's the all-time hit leader in the MLB.
All-time hit leader in the MLB?
He actually is.
Yeah.
Believe Barry Bonds.
Believe it or not, Barry Bonds is home runs.
Yeah.
Oh.
Pete Rose has the most hits.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because Pete Rose played forever.
Yeah. Me and my dad actually went to meet him a couple years ago.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, Pete Rose.
He doesn't have the highest batting average by any means. Don't get it confused with that. But, like, number of hits collectively, he has the most all-time with, like, 4,200 or something.
It's a lot.
He just played for so dang... He played a ridiculous amount of time. And he was great at hitting singles mostly. I mean, in his prime,
he was
could
a
definitely
contact
do more.
Hitter. He was not a power hitter.
Yeah. In his prime, he could do more than hit singles, but for a lot of his career, he just got a lot of singles.
And he was just... He hustled.
Hustle.
Yeah. The name is Charlie Hustle.
That's awesome.
There were a ton of, like... There's a ton of videos and stuff of him just, like, diving into home plate and, like, running over catchers and stuff like that.
Yeah, back when that was encouraged.
Yeah, but
dude, I loved that.
Yeah, but anyway...
As a Giants fan, I hated it.
He, for a lot of his career, he would bet on MLB games.
Yeah.
And later on in his career, he started betting on the Reds games, like his own team's games. And because of that, he was banned from the Hall of Fame.
Well, and the MLB.
And the MLB.
At least for a period of time.
So, which to me... I get there should be some kind of punishment, but when it comes to being in the Hall of Fame, that should be based on your skill, your performance, and what you did on the field, not what you did off of the field. So he will never get into the Hall of Fame.
I feel like it's a mixture of both, too. I mean, you could... Okay, this... It's kind of
debate part two, baby.
Yep.
Well, this is kind of me going off the deep end, but I would argue that Hall of Fame is more about the impact that a player has on the game, which is also it goes hand in hand with performance, 90% performance. But you could argue someone like, for instance, Jackie Robinson, who was the first black person to play in the MLB. Like, that's, to me, it's impactful to the game. It completely changed and shaped how the league looked from there on out. So I don't know, but it's also like, okay, but Jackie Robinson was an amazing player, so I don't know. I think it's both.
Yes. Let's see here. Let's see if I can come up with an example.
Although, I suppose you could also argue that that's racism, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, for the Jackie Robinson thing, yeah.
Yeah, because you wouldn't want to include someone in a Hall of Fame just because of their race. I understand.
Oh, yeah, no. I was going to say, with Pete Rose, I think that's kind of the MLB's argument, is that they're saying, well, it is more than just the game, and that did impact what he did on the field, because wasn't there some things where he was betting against the Reds?
There was when he was a manager.
Yeah, but he was a player manager.
Yeah.
And especially him as a player manager. He was actually the last player manager ever in MLB history. What's
a player manager?
It's legitimately, you are the manager of the team, but you are also a ball player.
Yeah.
You're both. You play on the team, but you're also the manager.
I have never heard of that. That's crazy.
That's because Pete Rose was the very last one ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, but back in the 80s. But I think that's also part of the MLB's argument, is that there were some games to where he bet against the Reds while he was the player manager of the Reds.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's terrible.
But he has said, and this has never been found to be proven, whether he was telling the truth or not on this. He said that, yeah, he bet on the Reds, but he would always bet on them to win. He never bet on them to lose. So it wasn't like he was trying to mess up for them to lose, is what he said.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't been proven. So I don't know. But yeah. You shouldn't be betting on your team in the first place.
Yeah.
I get it. But I mean, if you have the most hits in MLB history and you've held that record for, what, almost years? 40 years now?
Something like that, yeah. And it's not going to be broken.
No.
At least not anytime soon, especially with the way the game is played now, exactly. To where everyone wants to hit home. Like, nobody cares about batting average anymore, which, I mean, there are stats to kind of back that up, but everybody just cares about, like, home runs, on-base percentage, whatnot. When it comes to just batting average, people don't really care too much anymore. So, I mean, the chance that somebody gets more than 4,200 hits in their MLB career, there's a chance that will never be broken.
Yeah.
Or if it does get broken, it's going to take a long time.
I mean, yeah, what do they play, like 168 games a year?
162.
Yeah. 162.
But then, with the exception of like a couple players, a lot of them do not play every single game or have every single at-bat.
Yeah, there's just no shot.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of, that reminds me, are we cool to close on that topic?
Yeah,
because
that's cool.
This has really been annoying me lately. Joel Embiid. In the NBA, he is not in contention for the MVP anymore, even though he's having a fantastic season. He's averaging like something crazy, like 38 points per game or something insane. I don't know if it's that high.
Maybe not that high.
I haven't been following this season, but
maybe 30.
They've implemented this new thing for him where he's getting like a lot of games of rest. So he's not in contention for that anymore. And so what do y'all think about that? Because for me, it's like, I understand you want to get out there and play the game every day to the best of your ability, like the Pete Rose effect, you know?
Charlie Hustle was his nickname. Yeah.
But I don't know. It just seems like players nowadays are, maybe it's a good thing that they're taking more account for their health. I don't know. But it just seems like players don't want to play anymore, even if they're having a fantastic season.
That is probably my biggest pet peeve with the NBA is
the load management is what it's called.
And these superstars. Just
Kawhi
sitting.
Leonard kind of started it in, what was that, like 2018?
Did he?
2019 something. Oh, yeah, when he first signed with the Clippers, like after he helped Toronto win their championship, their first one ever, their only one, and he signed that contract with the Clippers. Ever since he joined the Clippers, I don't follow the NBA right now, so maybe something has changed in the past couple of years, but when he first signed there, it would be that he would only play, like, he had a certain schedule to where he would rest a lot of the time. For his load management. And, I mean, again, he was one of the best players in the world. He just, not single-handedly, but he was easily the best player on this Toronto team that led them to their first ever championship. He beat the super team Warriors that looked like they were going to win it all. He basically beat them, again, not single-handedly, but nearly single-handedly. And then he went to the Clippers, and he was like, oh, you know, I'm not going to, I need a rest.
Do you know how often he was out?
I don't. I was going to say, if I had to guess, the NBA plays 82 games a season. Like I think 60. He played, I was going to say, I feel like he might have done like mid to high 50s. Maybe he played, I feel like it was mid to high 50s.
It just annoys me so much because you play 82 games. Let's say he is not playing 20 plus games, but he's healthy. That is a big difference in the NBA, seeding wise for playoffs.
Yeah.
As superstars can literally win or lose or win
in
games.
NBA,
for teams.
That is the case.
So let's say he takes over 5 of those 20-ish games, but they were 3 games away from making the playoffs. Like, first off, that is. If you're going to be the superstar and the leader of your team, what is that doing if you're trying to show by example? Like that would just make, you know, the younger guys see that, you know, they can slack off. They don't have to work that hard. Kobe would never have done that.
Oh, no.
Never.
R.I.P.
Yeah. Right.
And Zach actually does have a poster of Kobe up on his wall up there.
And also, for the people that are paying tons of money for these,
that's a big
for these seats, wanting to see their superstar play and potential Hall of Famers, and them just sitting on the bench.
Yeah,
that's saying like screw you to the fans. Like that seriously irks me. I can't stand that.
I think there's a difference between nursing an injury for load management, or if you get to an age where you're like 35 plus in the league, and like you're a superstar, for instance, then at that point, I think load management is a little more understandable.
Sure. Yeah. If you,
I was just gonna say, but if you're missing 30 games, what worth are you to the NBA at that point? Yeah. Like, are you really that fragile that you're having to have this much load management?
Like Ben Simmons, I feel like, has played 10 games in 3 years.
I can't stand him.
I
can't even stand the news on Ben Simmons.
Cannot.
I can't stand that guy.
I couldn't stand the news on him, again, back in my day, meaning like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
But I can't even imagine what it is now.
But the thing is like...
He made a three-pointer last year.
But like, sure, a lot of MLB players would play the full 162 games.
That's Marcus Semien.
Yeah, that's not really the case anymore. You have people kind of here and there. I feel like NBA is the only big-time professional sports association where you have these superstars just saying, I'm just not going to play a few games.
Yeah.
That is – it's just – that's just one of the reasons why I had to stop watching NBA as much as I used to.
Yeah.
It's just like laziness on the court, just watching it. Like I tried to start picking it back up recently, and I still have been kind of keeping up with it. I had to stop watching so much because it's just like – I just feel like they don't show as much effort as they do in college. Like college to NBA, college is like, this game is going to make or break their career and their team season. The NBA, it's just like, I'm just going to sit out this game. And I'm going to look nice, though. I'm going to, you know, dress in Louis Vuitton like, and so everyone can see
my $10,000 suit.
Yeah, but, you know, I'll play, you know, maybe 75% of the games. Gosh!
Yeah,
I can go forever on this. Wow!
Just for the sake of argument, can I play devil's advocate?
Oh God!
Oh no!
What?
I don't have to. We can move on. I don't have to.
I want to hear this. Tom Brady is the GOAT.
Yeah, that's all I was gonna say. No, I was gonna say just play, and this doesn't mean that I actually like agree with their stance because I don't. No. Because it makes it more interesting to have discussion to get both sides. I was going to say, with the NBA, again, I'm not as familiar, but say with like the load management, a big portion of at least why players claim to do this is because of their health and because of injury risks. And if you look specifically at least at the two names that we've been mentioning so far, Joel Embiid and Kawhi Leonard, you can look back at their history. Kawhi Leonard... It hasn't been quite as injury riddled, but there's been some injuries here and there. But there was the really bad one to where tear something, or he stepped on Zaza Pachulia's foot or whatever, or Zaza Pachulia. It was kind of a dirty play.
Recall for names still.
This is when I actually watched the
center
NBA.
For the Warriors
at the time. Yeah, I don't condone
because
him.
Like all I did,
I don't take him as my own
because all I did was set screens, right?
Yeah, basically all he did was set screens. But he was known for being a little bit of a dirty player, and the play that he did was a little bit dirty. I mean, it seemed like it kind of was. I don't even know if it was a moving screen or if like he purposely moved his foot like underneath Kawhi Leonard or something. But it was something where Kawhi Leonard landed funny and he got wrecked. He just became a totally different player, kind of ruined his relationship with the Spurs because the Spurs wanted him to come back and play. But he didn't think that he was ready and he got this second opinion. And there was all this drama. That's what actually led to him being traded to Toronto was all of this. But I'm saying you look at that with him and he's probably thinking, you know, I've had this before in the past. I want to rest up and make sure that I'm healthy. I don't want to go through that again. And Joel Embiid has been, look back through his career. He has been hurt. I don't even know how many times he has been injured upon injured upon injured. So he's probably thinking the same thing. Like, okay, do I want to play every single game of the season, play like 35, 36 minutes a game, probably, and risk getting hurt and not being there for my team in the playoffs? Or do I want to dominate 50 something games, maybe 60 games, and be really good? And I know that I'm healthy for the playoffs by doing this load management. So taking it from their perspective with the health, and especially with those two players being named, they have had a lot of injury history. So it's like, you know what, you can kind of see it from them. And I know this is a different sport and the MLB isn't nearly as big on this, but you look at something like in the MLB right now, the MLB is at almost a historic pace of injuries that have happened to players this season. It is ridiculous, especially with pitchers, how many injuries there are. It's unbelievable. Like even just Spencer Strider was just announced that he's out for the season.
That sucks.
Yeah, you have. We haven't even mentioned Shohei Ohtani. He's healthy hitting. He can't pitch for the season at all. He's out pitching. You have a whole bunch of people on the Rays that are really good pitchers. You have like the Yankees with Gerrit Cole. You have Jonathan Loaisca on the Yankees. You have a bunch of different players, even some position players. Trevor Story on the Red Sox out for the year. To where it's like a lot of players are getting injured. And again, with the MLB, it's a very different question from the NBA, but just a lot of players are getting injured. So from their perspective, it may be like, hey, if I get injured, I may not be the same player when I come back. I want to make sure that I am the same player when I come back. But there is no comeback. I'm just the same player no matter what. So I'm not saying that I necessarily agree with their stance, because I actually don't. But I wanted to, I guess, go on a rant and play devil's advocate.
That is fair. But also, yeah, okay, if you play 50 or 60 games in a season, you have the chance to dominate those games. How competitive the NBA is with all the, you know, I mean, the professional athletes, you're not guaranteed to win all these those games, obviously.
Oh, no, not. So and you're not going to dominate every single game, even if you're a star. Steph Curry is the best three-point shooter to have ever walked the earth. He's going to have some games to where he goes like 2-for-10 from three. He just will.
But he's also going to have games where he scores 40 points and he loses.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It just happens. But would you? It comes down to the thing: would you rather just sit out because you're scared to get injured, or would you rather try to play every game and risk the injury so you're there for your team? That's what it comes down to. And if I were a player, I would want to take the risk and play all 82 games and have a chance to be there for my team, to have a chance to dominate every game instead of 50 or 60.
It's a hard line to balance, man. I don't know. I couldn't say if I was in that position, because if I'm making, let's just throw out a random number.
That's another thing. You're
millions
making tons
upon
of
millions.
Money to sit on the bench.
If I'm making $3 million a year, I'm just throwing a random number
like
out.
You're a bench warmer.
Let's just
at
say
that point.
Let's just say I'm making $3 million a year. And if I'm worried that if I'm hurt nursing an ankle injury and maybe I feel it in my Achilles or something, or I don't know. And I'm worried, like, what if this team doesn't sign me again? Like, what if I go to the G League? Okay, am I going to take that pay cut? Do I really want to sacrifice this lifestyle I've given my family at this point? For me, I feel like it's a lot of questions you got to ask yourself, because are you worried more about your legacy or your financial income, you know? Because some players, like, you've heard it before, like, some football players, they don't even want to play. They just, that's all they've known how to do, you know? It's not even that they want to play. It's like, okay, well, I'm good enough at this. I can do this and make a lot of money. So I guess
Anthony Rendon, and I always bring him back to the MLB.
So yeah, I don't know. It's just a hard line to balance. But I agree with you. I'm the same way. I want to give 110%, but I don't know. I could see it. If I had a family and kids and I gave them a really nice lifestyle and all of a sudden I can't play anymore, like I may want to pull back a little bit, get a load management.
Could you imagine in the NFL? I mean, don't get me wrong. The NBA is physical. Not as much as it used to be, but it's physical. The NFL is far more physical. You're getting hit every play.
Of course. The NFL is the most physical sport out there. Maybe minus one or two. The NFL is basically the most physical
besides
sport out there.
Physical combat sports.
Could you imagine
either that or rugby?
Could you imagine if some of these superstar players for these NFL teams said, just for 2 or 3 games, they're just going to sit out completely healthy? Even they don't do that.
No.
And it's far, far, far more physical than the NBA is. And it's because you sit out one game that can literally make or break a playoff appearance.
Yeah, but that's also 16 games a season. I mean, they have way more incentive to actually play through those games.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to, okay, 20 games in the NBA. What if you even just set out one in the NFL? Like, I don't know. I'm just...
It's hard. I don't know.
I just don't... I don't get it in the NBA. It's just... I don't know. It's just not the same, I feel like. You don't have people giving as much to it as I used to.
I'll say at least my, now that I'm done playing devil's advocate, my actual opinion on the matter is you should be trying to play every single game if you're healthy.
Yeah.
Like, you can't play these what ifs with injuries. If you legitimately are injured and you're trying to nurse an injury back to health and you're trying to come back at 100%, that's different. But if you are completely healthy, you should be trying to play each and every game, because one, I think you're doing your team a disservice by not playing. And like you mentioned, being a leader, because when you're the best player on a team, it doesn't mean that you are necessarily the leader, but you are a leader on the team. No matter what, people are going to look up to you and look to you because you're the best player on the team.
Yeah.
And when it comes to that, you're letting your teammates down because you're basically saying like, oh, you know, I just want to rest up but even if you have, at least in your mind, a good excuse for it, you're kind of quitting on your team for that game, if that makes sense. And then you also have to, this is another point that you mentioned that I think is really important. Maybe it's just because I'm biased because I am a fan, but the fans, like if you're a Philadelphia 76ers fan, there is a really good chance your favorite player is Joel Embiid.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And you probably go to a game to watch him. So if you go and you show up at a game and all of a sudden he's not playing the game and he's healthy, you spent all that money and you're not even getting to watch your favorite player and best player to play on the team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
so your team may end up losing. Like, for example, like, If we went to Cincinnati Reds game when Joey Votto was still playing, and say that he was 100% completely healthy, and Joey Votto just decided that he's not going to play that day,
yeah, I'd be very sad.
You would be upset because you spent all this money, you took time out of your schedule to go to this game, and you weren't able to watch your favorite player play. Again, with the MLB, it's a little different because there's 162 games, so like a rest day here and there kind of does make sense when it's 162. But like for the NBA or NFL, it's different. But
yeah.
To me, it's also just a disservice to the fans. It's a disservice to the fans, to the team. And to me, when you're getting paid that much and you're healthy, you have a job to do. Like, I'm trying to think about it. Like, if I tried to do that with my job, like, for example, I worked on
can I get a load management assessment?
Like, if I for real, like, I worked 12 hours on Thursday, starting at like 3 a.m. I worked 12 hours on Friday, working basically at 3 a.m. And then I started at 3:30 a.m. today on a Saturday. I only worked like 8 hours today, which is a normal day, but I still started very early and worked on a Saturday to where I'm not supposed to be working weekends. And so I've had a pretty busy last few days.
Yeah.
If I all of a sudden go to my boss, I'm like, hey, I need some load management days. You know, I just need, like, I'm just going to take some days off. He'd be like, well, you know, we're paying you to show up here and do a job that you're more than capable of doing and you're healthy enough to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, to me, that's a really good way to think about it. Like, could you just go to your boss and just be like, hey, I need some load management days?
I wish.
If the answer is somehow yes, then okay, good for you, I guess.
Yeah.
But for most all of us who are making not even anywhere remotely close to what these guys are making, we're basically making fractions on the dollar that these guys are making.
Oh, yeah.
And we have to show up and work every single day, no matter what. It's kind of an insult to you, especially when, you know, you pay an absurd amount of money for tickets and for food and for beer and whatever else you get, a jersey, everything else. And you show up and the guys that you're wanting to watch isn't even playing. It's like, well, I just spent a whole bunch of money.
Oh,
I
yeah.
spent either a weekday coming here, which means that I, you know, going to be really tired for work, or I wasted a weekend doing this. Like, it's, now, that's my actual opinion. People shouldn't be doing it. I understand the health concerns of it, and some of that is legit, but just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, like, this kind of example popped in my mind. Let's say, I mean, because I feel like pretty much every professional game, college game you go to, there's people in the crowd that will be their only game there ever in their lifetime, whether it be for whatever reason, most reasons being financial. Probably. Let's say, like, there's this little kid and his mom, and they've been trying to save up money to go to this game, to a Lakers game.
Yeah.
This kid is a huge LeBron fan. This is the only time he's ever going to see LeBron play. LeBron's, like, you know, fully healthy, takes the night off. That, I mean, I can't imagine. I would be so hurt And that's the only time that kid ever goes to a game. And doesn't get to see his favorite player play.
And surprisingly, do you know who understands this arguably better than anyone? Joey Votto. Because do you remember the story of there was... And I watched this in a YouTube video because I was interested on it.
I remember
But there was a story of Joey Votto who... there was a little girl who was like... She loved Joey Votto and she came to her first ever baseball game and she wanted to watch him play. And Joey Votto in the very first inning, I forget what happened. It was like some bad calls or whatever. He got really upset at the umpire, which Votto typically keeps his cool, but when he loses his cool, he loses it. When he loses his cool, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But anyway, he ended up getting ejected because, I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
And the little girl was so sad
she was crying
and she was like, I can't believe I missed it. And Joey Votto felt so bad about this.
Didn't he just see it on social media? He saw it on social media.
And Joey Votto felt so bad about this. He bought the girl and her parents tickets to the following game and gave her, it was either a game signed ball or a game signed jersey. And he wrote on there, like, I'm sorry, I didn't play the whole game and gave it to her.
And that's why I love Joey Votto.
I mean, yeah, it's great. I mean, to me, that is an example of a guy who gets it to where he's like, you know what, this, like, she came to watch me play, and this was her first ever game. They spent money to come out here. They, you know, took time out of their day, and I didn't play for him. I mean, and then he's like, you know, I want to make up for that because that's not fair to that fan. Like, that is, to me, like, okay, that's really cool that he did that.
Have I ever told y'all the moment I, like, realized in my head Joey Votto is going to be my favorite player for a long time?
The moment
when you saw his face,
wanted to marry him.
Yeah. So I was like 12 or 13 years old. It was just after he had that MVP year, and we went to a game, and I was lucky enough we had some pretty good seats, and we were right beside the dugout, actually where we're going to be sitting for the game we're going to. And so I went up, I had a ball, and I was at the net. So here comes Votto, and he's signing for a bunch of people. Well, not only is he just signing, almost every person he's signing a ball for, he's actually looking at them and talking to them. Like, he's not just, like, you know, sitting there, gets a pen. He's looking at them, and he's just talking to them.
That's
and so
cool.
he gets
that
to
really
me,
is.
And he asked me if it was, like, my first game. And I'm like, no, I've been to a couple already, and I think I said something like I'm a big fan, like I hope you guys win today, and he said something like, yeah, I hope we do too. We'll try to win it for you or something like that. Like, and that was just like him just talking to me. Yeah. I was like, I love this guy.
Just be relatable, be a person.
Yeah, because not only at, you know, 12 years old did I know he is really good, but after that I was like, he's a nice person too.
Oh yeah.
That's when I was like, he's my favorite. Forever, and luckily he was great for years after that. But
and he's still in the MLB.
Yeah,
I know that he's now, you know, back in his home country.
Yeah,
but
he should be coming back soon.
Freaking Scandinavians.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He's in his home country of Scandinavia.
What else is going on in sports?
Ah, well, you know, OJ died, so.
Just keep bringing that up.
That's technically not that far off, though. I mean, OJ was in sports.
He's dead.
He passed away.
He's gone.
Bye-bye, OJ.
And Zach's like, I can't say that.
When you pulled out the Forrest Gump, I couldn't keep it together.
Run, OJ,
I may
run.
Not be a smart man. But I know what love is.
It's like a box of chocolates. You just don't know what you're gonna get.
And you don't know what you're gonna get in life, and that's when you die.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
So is Forrest Gump's running away, is that OJ and his Ford Bronco? Oh,
someone told me today at work that Bronco sales went down the drain for years after that
chase. I'm sure.
Well, it was like a huge televised chase, like during even like the NBA finals, apparently, because it was like the chase was happening during the during the NBA finals. I guess they literally put up like a little screen in the corner of the OJ Simpson like fleeing cops in his white Ford Bronco.
Yeah, because it was like, I remember on the radio, that was where I heard about this. It was game six. It was game six of the NBA finals.
The Knicks.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was the Knicks and someone else.
Yeah, but New York, so a lot of people were tuned in for that, with it being New York City. Yeah,
1994.
Yeah, it was in the 90s, yeah.
When was the last time the Knicks were in the playoffs? Was that like 2005?
1994. No, I'm joking.
It's probably been a while. I don't know.
Oh, I think they've been somewhat recently. I mean, they didn't have much.
Gone far.
Yeah, they didn't have much success, but they have made the playoffs somewhat recently.
I remember that. That was when they had RJ Barrett.
Carmelo.
Yeah, I think they still have RJ Barrett.
Do they?
Well, actually, maybe I'm making that up. Like I said, I haven't followed the NBA in a little bit.
But the OJ whole thing, something came up on my TikTok. You know who Bob Costas is?
I've heard the name, but admittedly, I don't remember who that is.
Huge broadcaster and stuff. He was doing the Knicks game, I guess, for the
NBA
finals.
Okay.
And he worked, is it CBS, ESPN, something that he worked for at the time. Mm-hmm. Well, apparently he was on an interview like right after OJ died, and apparently he tried to call Bob Costas while he was in the the Bronco for some reason.
What?
And he was asked, like, during, I guess, the investigation whole thing, I guess Bob Costas was talked to because they worked together, because OJ was a
an announcer.
He was in the booth for a couple years, and he would do like sideline reports and stuff like that. Do you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah,
I mean, I knew that he was involved in the NFL for a decent bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just for a few years, he did like some announcing type
stuff. Okay, I didn't know that necessarily he was an announcer.
Yeah,
but
he was a coworker with Bob Costas. Mm. So after the whole thing happened, they asked Bob Costas, "Hey, did you get a phone call from OJ while this whole thing was going on?" He was like, "No." Well, at one point, Bob Costas and like a couple other people went to see OJ in prison, and OJ was talking to him, and he was like, "Hey, did you know that I called you the night that was going on?" And he was like, so Bob Costas started thinking of the question he was asked, and Bob said that he had a Band-Aid on his finger. He like cut his finger or something, and OJ looked at his finger and he said, "So you did it," like looking at Bob Costas, and then he like had some smile on his face, and Bob was like, "That was the last time I ever saw him or spoke to him in my life." He said he never spoke to him and never saw him again.
That would have been the best sports broadcast in history.
I'll show you all the clip. It's actually kind of crazy.
I was gonna say, OJ Simpson was an insane person. Like, even if you look past like the crime,
even that one, he's done a bunch of stuff.
He has. Well,
armed robbery.
What? I did not know that, actually.
Yeah. I can't remember exactly what it was, but yeah, like he's been in prison for a bunch of
stuff.
How
do you do that?
He took him off and just started swinging it around. It was weird. Yeah. No, he took someone's arm off. Yeah.
Oh.
He robbed their arms.
Makes more sense.
I'm an
armed
idiot. What were we
robbery.
Saying?
Yeah.
You can get a $1 Dave's double at Wendy's right now.
Wow.
That is true.
That was crazy.
Sponsored by Wendy's.
They're not even a sponsor.
Home of the Dave's.
But go get them.
Something.
That was the last thing I was expecting.
All of a sudden, you're just like, "You guys want a Frosty?"
Actually, that sounds good.
That sounds fantastic.
How late is Wendy's open?
God.
Yeah, you can get a Dave's double at Wendy's for $1
That's
right now.
Insane.
Do you need like a coupon or like to be a part of anything? No.
It's a March Madness thing that goes for a little longer.
Does it not concern you that In today's economy, no, but does it not concern you that you can get like a hamburger and a double being like a double patty? That you can get a double patty hamburger.
Two square patties.
For $1.
Does that not
concern you?
Is it like, not like a slider?
Just don't think about it.
Just, how can they make money off of that? Well, actually, if they're doing it just for March Madness, I'm going to hope and assume that they're actually losing money off of it and that this is just a promotion. So that way, when it's done, people will still continue to buy their stuff and it will overall be a profit.
Marketing.
I'm going to hope that is the case.
Marketing.
Well, regardless, I hope Wendy's roasts us on Twitter because they are savage.
Yeah, Wendy's will. Wendy's will roast anyone.
You got a free ad.
Yeah, and for real, brought to you by I'm not even holding anything. What am I doing?
Yeah.
I don't know what that was. Sorry.
You just got really discombobulated.
Yeah. What is this?
What is the best Taco Bell item?
Oh, that's a, Evan. You are a sick, man. All right. The best Taco Bell item.
There isn't that, anything in here.
That is tough. My all-time favorite, I don't think it's the best, is the chicken quesadilla. That's just my personal favorite.
I don't think it's the best, but it's...
It is my favorite. I just know a lot of people don't like it for some reason. They say it's too basic. But besides that, what I would consider to be the greatest Taco Bell item of all time is a steak grilled cheese burrito.
Oh, okay. Oh, those are good. So good, dude.
When they're made right, and you know that 15-year-old behind the grill actually cares about the food they're making. Oh, it hits so good.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
A grilled cheese burrito?
Yeah,
steak grilled cheese burrito. So basically what they do is they take a burrito and, you know, they give that little like grill sear on it.
I see. It's a normal burrito with steak, but they almost like panini press it
with cheese, and it's fantastic.
It is really good.
Okay. I thought it was literally like a combination of a grilled cheese and a burrito, but then they also added steak.
Two burritos with cheese in the middle.
Honestly, that's what it kind of sounded like at first.
4,000 calories.
Honestly, well, that's kind of Taco Bell. You're free to use that idea. That's not bad.
And supposedly they're going to be coming out with... Did you know that... Hold on. Actually, you just reminded me of something.
That reminded me what you did a couple weeks ago. Remember? Started talking... I asked you if you had the next day off, and you...
Oh, my gosh.
Like, three tangents.
That's like you'd be talking about something random, like, did you know in sports... Wait, hash browns. Squirrel. Did you know... Just remember... No, but this is... I'm so serious.
Yeah.
Taco Bell has, like... You know how E3 is a thing for Xbox, where they have that grand reveal of all the games are coming out?
Oh, yeah, all the games and whatnot, yeah.
Taco Bell has the same thing.
They have
an E3 for Taco Bell. And they talk about all the items they're releasing in the next year. But I forgot what there was going to be. It was going to be, like, strawberry cinnamon delights or something.
Oh, okay. Those can actually be good.
Or, I don't know, strawberry something. It was, anyways, there was a lot of things that sounded good.
R.I.P. to the quesarito.
God, I'm
gonna miss that. I loved a nice quesarito when you would just get it at 1 a.m. on a cold night. Oh.
Yeah.
That saved my life during college sometimes.
Well, you were going to die?
Though.
Huh?
They weren't cheap, though. It was like $5.
Yeah, but if you're just getting that and that's your meal.
Okay, yeah. Not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean.
Those are so good. They had rice in them, too, which I'm not a huge fan of rice in a Taco Bell burrito, but it worked.
They made it work, yeah. So shout out to Wendy's and shout out to Taco Bell.
Yeah.
And shout out to you, Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah. We hope you get your money back.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, he will. Have you seen his contract?
Yeah, did you?
Yeah. He will.
Have you seen his contract that he signed?
Oh, of course. It's like, what, $400 million?
Oh, almost double it.
Up.
$800
million? $700
million. Yeah.
Jesus Christ on a motorbike. That is insane.
But Japanese Jesus.
Honishiwa. Christ. Messiah.
On the motorbike.
Konnichiwa, my lord.
Welp.
Oh,
I don't know.
It's not worse than what Chris did on the podcast, but it's fine.
Oh,
yeah, for real.
I still can't believe we aired that.
Just what made Chris's so funny and bad all at the same time was that it was obviously premeditated and that he like planned ahead for this specific joke. He planned ahead for it.
Friendly. He knew.
Yeah, do you know?
Yeah, I know.
Oh my gosh, yeah, Layton's gonna have a fun time editing these two videos.
Layton, I'm so sorry. I'm genuinely sorry. I realize I've taken
genuine sorry.
But hey, it's okay. It's okay.
But hey, Shohei, it's okay.
Good stuff, brother.
Good stuff. Zach, we missed you. Thanks for being on again.
Yeah, I missed
thanks
you
for
too.
Allowing us to be in your home today.
Yeah, of course.
We missed
get
you.
Get out.
All right.
Okay.
All
well, right.
Thank you for joining us. For a session of awkwardness. Have a good week. We love you.
Bye.